Mr. Salvi, to all of Jenner and Block, the court expresses its particular appreciation for your willingness to accept this argument and file the supplemental brief at the last minute. You've been of great assistance to the court as well as to your clients, and this is in the very best traditions of the bar. You have our thanks. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case is Montgomery against American Airlines.
Good morning. Thank you. 16 days ago, this court handed down a decision in a case entitled Berry versus the CTA, in which it stated that a non-movement's deposition testimony is sufficient to defeat a summary judgment. It also went on to say that at the summary judgment stage, the district court is not one to weigh the credibility of evidence, the veracity of testimony. It takes facts and they're to be favored toward the non-movement. In this particular case, Anthony Montgomery claims that he was racially discriminated against by American Airlines and subjected to a harassing work environment as a probationary auto mechanic for American Airlines. Now, in October of 2006, he applied for an auto mechanic position with American Airlines. He had previously worked there since 1989. In order to be considered for a mechanics position in the auto shop, one had to meet certain qualifications, and that was educational experience, practical experience as an auto mechanic. He went through a two-month period of review where he submitted transcripts from education, work experience, and after that two-month period, he was accepted as a probationary auto mechanic in the auto shop, and he began work in the auto shop at American Airlines in December of 2006. He worked a variety of shifts. He worked on a variety of equipment. He worked on a variety of jobs throughout that period of time. Immediately upon his acceptance into the program, he began to be subject to harassment from coworkers. The initial harassment came from a fellow by the name of Mark Vandrum, who said, "When are you going to go back to driving a bus?" which is what he had done previously. "When are you going to go back to the ramp?" which is a job that he had done previously. Now, Mr. Montgomery was unique because the testimony is, at the time he became a probationary employee, there were 73 employees in the auto shop. Two other employees were African Americans. Those employees were crew chiefs. At the time, Mr. Montgomery was the only auto mechanic actually working on the floor. There was no disparity about who someone was talking to when they made these types of comments to Mr. Montgomery. When he was confronted by Mr. Vandrum, and these confrontations took both verbal and physical form. He was actually confronted in the parking lot one time. He went to his supervisors, Mr. Shea and Mr. Brooks, and he complained to them about this harassing treatment. Now, there's conflicting testimony. American claims that when he went to Shea and he went to Brooks, he didn't say he was being subject to racial discrimination. Mr. Montgomery testified at pages 168, 169, of his deposition that, in fact, he did say he was being harassed as a result of his race. That testimony is sufficient in and of itself to defeat summary judgment. There's additional issues of harassment. There were additional reports of harassment by Mr. Montgomery. He reported to his crew chief, who was also his union steward, Mr. Lugopolsky, that he was being subject to harassment by his coworkers, that he wasn't being trained sufficiently by his coworkers, by the crew chiefs, by the other white employees. It turns out not only did Mr. Dobrowolski not follow through on any of these complaints, he was one of the chief antagonists. His response to Mr. Montgomery upon his complaints was, well, all you folks from the ghetto respond the same way. This is typical of you people, making reference to Mr. Montgomery's race as an African American. Mr. Montgomery went as far as to bring these complaints to the manager of ground service equipment, Mr. Brian Schaefer, who's the next level above Shea and Brooks. He had a 3-hour meeting with Mr. Schaefer, and it's Mr. Montgomery's testimony in that 3-hour meeting that he brought forth these complaints of harassment and disparative treatment. Now, the issue came up in this conversation with Mr. Shea as to why Mr. Montgomery was being required to take a probationary mechanics test when similarly situated white employees were not required to take that test. The district court ruled that, in fact, Mr. Montgomery, the individuals that he used as examples were not similarly situated, and the basis for this belief that they were not similarly situated was when these other individuals that were not tested, Mr. Romano, Mr. Nigan, Mr. Hilt, were not given the probationary test and were just passed right through the 6-month probationary period to full-time auto mechanics, was because Brian Schaefer had not been in place at that time. The manager's position was vacant for a period of 2 years. Well, that's not a legitimate argument, because the testimony is that the individual responsible for administering this probationary test, and in fact the only individual that was qualified to administer this probationary exam, was a fellow by the name of Rick Helton. And Rick Helton was a supervisor, and Rick Helton had been in that position since 1995 continuously. And it was his job to administer that probationary exam. And he was there during Mr. Romano's probationary period, he was there during Mr. Nigan's probationary period, and he was there during Mr. Hilt's probationary period. Yet none of those employees were required to take the probationary exam. None of those employees were African Americans. That, in and of itself, is disparaging treatment. Mr. Montgomery meets the prima facie case for racial discrimination based upon McDonnell Douglas in that he was a member of the protected class. That's admitted. He was qualified for the position sought because it took 2 months for American Airlines to admit him from the time that he applied for that position until he started December 9, 2006. There's no testimony that he wasn't an able mechanic. He went through a training period. He made a couple of mistakes. There was some issue about disconnecting a battery prior to the time that it was disconnected, and he was told that that wasn't the way you do it, and he understood that. But there was no testimony that he was inept at his position, that he was unsafe. In fact, one of his coworkers testified in an investigation that took place that he was a safe worker. Mr. Montgomery got no satisfaction in his complaints to Cliff Shea and Mr. Brooks, his two supervisors. When he went to Brian Schaefer, no action was taken. There was an incident that took place in the evening one night when Mr. Montgomery was pulling a tow truck from outside into one of the shops, and one of his coworkers essentially ridiculed him and said to him, "I didn't know it was you until you smiled," making a racially derogative comment about the fact that he was an African American. That employee was investigated. No actual corrective action was taken against that employee. American Airlines, in its brief, sets forth its Rule 32, which is effectively a rule that says that any kind of behavior that violates a work environment policy, even if it's a joke, is to be taken seriously. Yet, when this Mike Kogel made a racially derogatory comment, joke, in front of Caucasian employees, nothing was done to him. Mr. Montgomery went on to complain and to bring all these allegations to Human Resources in August of 2007, after he was deemed to have failed the probationary exam, no action was taken. He contacted the CEO of the company, Gerald Arpey. No action was taken. He had a three-hour meeting approximately with the vice president of operations in Chicago, Art Pappas. No action was taken. He called a hotline like he was supposed to do, and he reported these instances of racial discrimination. No action was taken. He was given a probationary examination by Mr. Helton, the only individual that we know of up until April 24th when he was given that examination that was actually given the examination. And the testimony across the board is he is the only individual that has ever failed the auto mechanic probationary examination. He's an African American. He testified that Mr. Helton didn't offer him help, was harassing during the course of the investigation, the course of the examination, and asked him repeated questions until he got one wrong and at that point deemed that he had failed the examination. I'd like to reserve any time that's left for rebuttal. Thank
you. I think, counsel, your time has expired. Ms. Spangler.
Good morning, Your Honors. Cardell Spangler on behalf of American Airlines. I'd like to start by saying that many of the facts that Mr. Montgomery's attorney has set forth before the court today follow a similar pattern as below in the district court and again on briefs in the appellate court here, in that they have no support whatsoever in the record. For example, he just said there was no action taken by Human Resources in response to Mr. Montgomery's complaint of discrimination. The record is replete with exactly what Human Resources did upon actually contacting Mr. Montgomery, not the other way around. It was American Airlines Human Resources who contacted Mr. Montgomery to ask him to come in and talk to him because she had heard that he had some complaints. It was then that Jackie Rios, the Human Resources representative, conducted a prompt and thorough investigation to each and every allegation that Mr. Montgomery had. She talked with, at that time, 10 employees, gathered written statements from each and every one of them. She met four times with Mr. Montgomery, and throughout her entire investigation, she concluded that one individual, Mr. Kogel, during a off-work conversation, had made a comment that she did not think was appropriate. That comment was, Mr. Montgomery, I believe that I can see your smile when it's at night. And she didn't think that that was appropriate, and counseling was issued to Mr. Kogel for that comment. Mr. Foley said that there was a letter that was sent to Mr. Arpey regarding these issues. That is nowhere in the record. That there was a three-hour meeting that Mr. Montgomery had with the vice president of operations. There is nothing of the sort in the record. The district court properly held that there were no genuine issues of material fact as to any of Mr. Montgomery's claims, his racial discriminatory demotion claim or his racial harassment claim. Mr. Montgomery continues to make, try to make hay anyway, of the fact that there were three probationary mechanics that he attempts to point to that were under, he claims, were under Mr. Schaefer's management and did not take the probationary exam. As the district court held, there is no such evidence in the record. Two of those mechanics, Mr. Hilt and Mr. Wynn, there is no evidence whatsoever in the record that either of those two individuals was in the mechanic auto shop when Mr. Schaefer was the supervisor. And, in fact, the testimony is to the contrary. With respect to the third mechanic, Mr. Schaefer admits he made a mistake. The collective bargaining agreement is clear that once a probationary mechanic has passed through 180 days, he cannot be tested. And unfortunately, Mr. Schaefer, the supervisor, miscalculated his date because there was a period of time where he was off on a layoff, and he didn't include that time. And so when he went to test him, the union objected and said his 180 days is up, and the union was successful in its argument. So there are no similarly situated employees that Mr. Montgomery can point to who were not required to take the probationary exam. To the contrary, other than the one mistake that Mr. Schaefer made, the testimony is clear that every other mechanic who was a probationary mechanic who was coming to the auto shop, Mr. Schaefer has required to take and pass the probationary mechanics exam. The probationary mechanics exam was anything but discriminatory or harassing. Prior to the probationary exam, Mr. Montgomery admits that he had never met Mr. Helton. He was represented by his union during the exam. His union rep stated that he saw nothing wrong or improper with the exam, but that it was fair, and that Mr. Montgomery simply failed it. And therefore, he was not qualified pursuant to the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, which Mr. Montgomery likes to ignore. There are two parts. First, you have to be qualified to actually even get into the position, and that is based upon his experience and his education. And secondly, you have to take the probationary exam. That's in the collective bargaining agreement, Article 9, and so there's really no dispute as to that. There is no genuine issue of material fact as to the reason that Mr. Montgomery was placed back into his fleet service clerk position, and the district court properly held so. There's also no genuine issue of material fact with respect to Mr. Montgomery's racial harassment claim. He claims that he complained to Supervisor Shea, but even the deposition testimony that he cites does not support that. In fact, all he says there is, every time I mentioned the word harassment, I mentioned that it was racial. But he admits that he never used that term, not with his supervisors anyway. That, yes, he complained repeatedly he complained to his crew chief and to his coworkers, which a crew chief is, but for coworker harassment, that is not enough. He has to actually bring his complaints to management. Again, he did not bring his complaints to management, but management ultimately found out about it, and they conducted a prompt and thorough investigation and concluded, as I previously stated, that there was only one instance that an individual needed to be reprimanded with respect to, and they did, in fact, issue that reprimand. In addition, Mr. Montgomery had claimed that the N-word was used, and the first time he made that complaint was in his complaint to the court here. American found out about that, and again, even though Mr. Montgomery had no evidence as to who made the complaint or when it might have happened, they did a prompt and thorough investigation of that complaint, and again, could not substantiate the allegations. There are no issues of material fact as to either of Mr. Montgomery's claim, and American requests that the court affirm the decision of the lower court. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.